We're on page 40, which is Yisir Aleph of the Maimar HaShlishi. And this was a rather long Maimar, in which, in which he explained the idea of using the philosophical mitzvahs to help motivate a person in serving Hashem. He also mentioned that a person is supposed to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol tenuaisav. In all a person's movements, if you're aware of the Ribbono Shel Olam, it helps you. Now, in the last piece of Yud Aleph, where he says, Umisha nisyashev al nafshai, five lines from the end of the page 40, Umisha nisyashev al nafshai, now he gives us an additional benefit in a person who thinks about the Ribbono Shel Olam. We said that when you make a bracha, you should be thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem Yayim Yayim. That every day, when a person, for example, says Pekeach Ivrim, every day should thank Hashem anew that he has the ability to see. When a person says Zaykev Kfufim, Baruch Hashem Yayim Yayim, B'chol Yayim Ten Laim Em Berchaisav, thank Hashem that you have it today. And that idea gives a person a renewed appreciation of what he has. Here, going back to that, in connection with what we learned the other day, reminding oneself of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tzedek, he says, "Umishin nisyashev al nafshay zeh." Somebody who thinks about this, it's the trick to acquire the trait of Nochem Ish Gamzu. Kol asher tamtzieu tzara oimer gamzu l'tayva. Whatever difficulty comes his way, he'll be able to say, not just say it, because he's trained to, but really feel, gamzu l'tayva, that this is for the best. V'yechayim arevim tamid, v'tokel olav hatzarais. Now this is really a goal. One thing to, you don't think about God, you don't think about God. Most people, you know, it's a nice thing. Adiyah, the nish, you know, maybe yeah, maybe not. But to have a goal, v'yechayim arevim tamid, that your life should be sweet, v'tokel olav hatzarais, and be able to deal with difficulty. And even more, a person will sometimes rejoice when he remembers that he has averis, like he's paying up his chayv, and rejoices that if he has a tzara, it makes his chayv to Hashem less. And rejoice thinking about the schar that's osid. And rejoice and be able to teach people, to be able to saivel, to withstand the challenges, and to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's din is right. So what he's talking about is that an appreciation of life, and really, there's an expression that people, when people see the trees and they miss the forest, that they sort of have a warped idea of what's happening around them. I notice sometimes when a couple are dating and they get hung up about one difference between them. So sometimes it's major, sometimes it really matters. But sometimes it's a minor, relatively minor issue that a couple, I assume it happens in marriage too, although I wouldn't know if people discover these differences. That people discover small differences, and it's like a finger in front of your eyes, which looks so big compared to everything around you. So that a person who doesn't have a global view of things tends to have a warped view. Because what do you think about? You think about the thing that bothers you, about the thing that's difficult to you. If a person has a splinter in the heel of his foot and he tries to walk, all he thinks about is the splinter. He doesn't think about the rest of his body, which is working properly. So that, in generally in life, very often people have this warped view of what's important and what's not important. But Mela, having the global view of that he's describing of Pekech Ivrim is helpful. What a beautiful expression that Yiyu Chayim HaRevim Tamid, his life will be sweet. V'Tokel Olav Atzarais, and the difficulties will be easier for him to withstand.
But at the time that somebody has that splinter, that is his global thought.
It's not a global thought. It's a specific thought that blocks everything else.
It takes over everything else.
It's an amazing thing. You can be in a great mood and happy about things that happened that day. And if you stub your toe walking in the house, everything else doesn't matter. You feel like angry at the Rabbeinu Shalom. Like, well, was a God half in the fact that you stub your toe? But a smart person will hopefully his intellect will carry over his emotion. He'll be able to deal with it. There are occasions where I have to deal with people that are loyalenu who are terminally ill and know it. And, you know, the talk about, you know, Hashem can help a person even the last minute. It doesn't work for everybody. You know, it works for some people, but some people are just too smart for it. And the question is how loyalenu, you know, none of us should be tested, but how you deal with somebody who's holding at a very challenging moment in his life. His life is pain and going to doctors and, he knows he's not winning the battle. So what do you say to such a person? Even such a person, if you can get a global view of what's happening, if you can understand that, let's say it's a married man, he says, you know, your wife has been good to you throughout this whole ordeal. And now, it's up to you to make life difficult for her, easy for her. You know, it's what you do. Get someone to understand that, you know, we live our lives, we write the book of our lives. Someday we're not here. The question is, what's the chapter about you going through your illness? What's it going to say? It's going to say you fell apart. Or it's going to say that you're an inspiration to people. The only way a person could deal with it is to have some type of global picture of what he's going through. And to try to deal with it in such a way. And it's very hard to start doing that. B'shas tzara. During a tzara, you can't talk to someone philosophically if he's not used to thinking about these things. But if a person, when all is well and life is good, trains himself to think about things in such a positive way, then when the challenges come, he's more prepared for them. It's still a challenge. But he's better prepared for it if he can do it that way. Belittling the challenge. I'm just saying that a global view of things is always a healthier view, and it's always a truer view of the way things are than the small, narrow view. And that's really what he's talking about. He's talking about having a philosophical view of things all the time, so that when difficulties come, it's easier. It's never easy, but it's easier to deal with. That's his idea. Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't want the Yisurim and I don't want the benefit of it. It's true. I guess that's talking about someone who has the ability to deal with it. When you're given a choice, you can make a choice. Most of us are not given the choice. We're put in a situation. The question is how you deal with it, not whether you have it or not. So. Anyway, he ends this piece by saying, Zeh b'tzaras ha'miyuchad hazeh. We're talking till now about individuals' difficulties. There's a much harder to deal with. With general tzaris, when a person thinks about the tzaris of Klal Yisrael, the length of the galus, it's mind-boggling that galus is most of the existence of Klal Yisrael. It's at least two-thirds of the existence of Klal Yisrael, depending how you calculate, is galus. Or Pizar Uma, and how Klal Yisrael, amazing, wherever country you go, you know, there are Jews there. Uma shehigia eleho meyadalus v'hamiyot. And this which Klal Yisrael has fallen into poverty and into being small in number. Yisnachem tihilo b'tziduk adin kasher amarti. And the Chama comes in tziduk adin, in understanding that Kadosh Baruch Hu is guiding, va'achar kein b'nichvei avay noisav, and after that understanding that these destroy a person's sin, u'b'schar atzof in loylam haba, v'idobik b'nina l'kai b'olam hazeh, and to connect to Hashem in this world, v'im yashanu sitnoi mizeh, and if his sitnoi, his enemy, the Yetzirah, will cause him to have yiyush, kasher hischayenu ka'amrei, hatichyenu ha'atzom yisaila, will Klal Yisrael, the remnants of the Jewish people, come alive again? After all of our difficulties, Yecheskel says, our bones are dry, va'avda tikvaseinu nigzra lanu. Yechashev, so now the person will think, will Klal Yisrael ever lift itself up again? Yechashev b'tzias Mitzrayim. Think about the history of Klal Yisrael. Yitzias Mitzrayim, b'chal shnema b'kam amalis tevis namakim aleinu. It shouldn't be distant that Klal Yisrael can come alive again. Now we're reading this today. Someone reads this in 1945, I guess it's more meaningful. In 1945, plenty of people said, are the Jewish people ever going to bounce back? So if we have to remind ourselves, we don't have to go back to Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we go back to the world of our fathers. Then he says, even if one Jew who remained in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could rebuild us, what is a person, when you think about the human being in the kever? But this idea, I remember once reading the Tzava, the last, the moral testament, the moral will of the Chacham Tzvi to his son, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And he said, you should work on yourself, that there would be only one Jew left in the world, and it would be you, that your faith would be strong. I remember when I read it, you shudder, like, how can a person imagine, such a test? I mean, God forbid, you know, that there'll be one Jew left, and you still have faith. Like, that's, so it's here. And here he says this, that, afilom lo yishar mimenu alechad. So Yud Aleph is the demand on a person to be philosophical about his emunah and to carry it with him all the time. What follows now, in the next exchange, which is relatively brief, is one of the most beautiful pieces of the Kuzari. Let's see what he says. Omar, what?
When we were talking about Mosaris and Yismach, he should feel that he's paying off a chov.
Yeah.
Do we have a right to assume, like he says, you stub your toe? Is that from Shemayim, and therefore you could say that?
Ain Adam no kevetz boy milmata. No one bangs his finger down here. Lam kemachriz no milmaila. We assume that it's from heaven.
But do you have a right to assume that that could be a kapara for Averis?
That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. That's how to think about it. B'zayinus, they say, are the best kaparas. Or Pam always said, B'zayinus are the best kaparas. Question is whether we should be mevaza ourselves or not. So once I was talking about this with someone in shul, I said, let's see. So they were benching Rosh Chodesh. So I tried it. The person was benching Rosh Chodesh. Remember, this happened a couple of years ago. So only he and I knew about this. But the benching Rosh Chodesh, a person said, I don't remember which month it was, Rosh Chodesh, Mar Chesron, Yeah, B'yayim HaShlishi V'Aravi. So I turned around and I said, no, B'yayim HaSheni. I was wrong. I know I was wrong. I said, no, B'yayim HaSheni. So first he got flustered. He said, B'yayim HaSheni. Everyone said, no, B'yayim HaShlishi V'Aravi. I said, oh, okay. So that's what I did. So there's one person in shul who knew that I had made up with it. We're going to try it. We'll see. So I spoke to him about it afterwards, but it wasn't really b'zayinus, because it was like gaiva that I was doing it. I didn't blush, right? Because I knew I was doing it. So I don't know. I'm not sure how that works. In the Vardik, they used to do that. In the Vardik, they used to walk into a hardware store and ask for a container of milk to sort of work on their gaiva. So I don't know if you do that, if it makes you a bigger Balgaiva, if you do it purposely, or it makes you have more humility, I'm not sure. But I don't know. What do you say?
That's the Varadka of Slobodka.
That what?
To be like that.
It's not Slobodka, no, it's the Varadka.
It just makes other people around you upset.
Oh, if you're a good enough actor, it's not that hard. I don't know. Also, people feel good correcting you. It's not so bad. It's let's say a chazan will forget whatever Berachas Kayanim. Someone says, "Oh, Berachas Kayanim." So the person who collects feels good, especially because he was awake enough to notice. So you know, you do him a favor. You know,
when someone volunteers, like Lane, he doesn't know it. He volunteers, and half the shul starts correcting him every single second.
Yeah, the joy, you mean? No, I don't know.
The rough story when we were young, when Rav was young, the person was correcting you upstate.
Yes, yeah, I was, maybe that was all my story. This is an old story. But it once happened, I was in a bungalow colony. And I'm not much of a Balkaira. I used to lay until Shani is not so hard. So when they were stuck, I used to lay until Shani. So they were stuck in the bungalow colony, and they asked me to lay in Parshas Kisetze. I spent many hours, took me a long time. I spent probably 12, 13 hours preparing. And it wasn't a bungalow. It was a bungalow on the road. And then, Erev Shabbos, and 2 hours before Shabbos, a guest comes up to one of them, a well-known Balkaira. You know, oh, they have a Balkaira. So someone said, you can't do that. You know, you prepared a whole week. So I was a bacher then. So I leaned. But this Balkaira stood next to me. Yeah. And any, I missed a trap, he corrected me. A patach and a kumitz, he corrected me like, it was terrible, you know. Like, you know, I was a bacher, once he corrected me 5 times already, you know, it helped me make mistakes. So I don't know. When he davened for the Amid Musaf, did I tell you this? He davened Musaf for the Amid. So, he made a mistake. He said, V'yanuchu bam. Instead of Yanuchu Bai. So I corrected him. But he didn't notice, he just kept on going.
Did you ever
lean
again?
I only in 2 parashas, Balaischa and Kiseitze. I was never asked to lean again after that. Anyway, I wanted to get to this next exchange. Omar Kuzari. Yeah, first he's just answering the previous. The king accepts this explanation. If we go with your approach, a person can live a pleasant life, even in Golas. The king is taking note. Normally we assume Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba opposites. You sacrifice Olam Hazeh to get Olam Haba. You pursue Olam Hazeh, you lose Olam Haba. He's telling him with what you're saying, you get Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Mishu Seivel HaGolus Miskat Seif Kimachu Mafsir Olam Evachrisei. Someone who doesn't deal well with the Golus, he's Miskat Seif, he's angry at the Golus. Olam Hazeh is unhappy. And it's a lack of faith, he loses Olam Haba. Somebody who deals well with Tsaris, it's good for him in this world, it's good for him in the next world. So he has something which is good in both worlds. Amar Achaver. Here, this next exchange, you can see in your Svarim, it's a quick exchange. It's one of the most beautiful things. There aren't many pieces of the Kuzari that I know from before this study of the Kuzari, but this is one of the most beautiful pieces. Amar Achaver. Umimashi yaisiflei arevus al arevus. He just spoke about having a sweet life. By philosophically looking at life. He says, if you really want to have a sweet life, Yevarech Tamid al Kol Mashu Meitzim in Olam, bless Hashem constantly, and anything Shehu Meitzim in Olam, any benefit he gets from the world, whatever happens, say a bracha. Amar Kuzari, Echuze. A bracha is Terech Yaisir. Making brachas all the time, it's a pain. It's a tircha. We do it because we're commanded to do it. But brachas are not sweet, not super sweet. They're a tircha. Amar Achaver. Halay. Ha'adam ha'sholim yaiser roi shi'yisup yisuper b'hargosha sahanoa b'mashiyach v'yishte b'yatinik v'abehema. Who enjoys good food more? An intelligent adult? A child? An animal? For example, who enjoys food better, an animal or a plant?
Well,
an animal. A plant is always being fed by the earth, has no pleasure. Animal has more. A child has more than an animal. An intelligent person, even more. Because the more a person realizes that he's having a pleasure, the more pleasurable it is. And the king gives an example. Amar Kuzari. Keinu li yistrein hachush v'hergish v'hadar. When you enjoy things, most of the enjoyment comes from your brain, not from your taste buds. Most of it comes from the fact that you appreciate that you're having something good. He gives a beautiful example. Let's say you have a man who's dead drunk, and they give him his favorite foods, and the man is eating it drunk. Food and drink. And they bring they bring an orchestra to play for the drunk. And he loves someone. And his beloved comes and hugs him and kisses him. He's drunk. When he sobers up, you tell him, oh boy, you know what happened when you were drunk? How you doing, Gazer? V'yashua kol hefsid v'lei revach. He would say, oh no, why did you do that to me when I was drunk? What a waste. V'mnei sh'lei bo liyodei ha'anois ahein. V'ubinyish yargish v'yargish v'yinayim bohem, v'yinayim bohem. He had the pleasures, but he didn't have the presence of mind to appreciate it and to notice it. So it must be that the more a person takes note of olam hazeh pleasures, the more pleasurable they are in this world. So what he's saying is that the brachos are there to awaken the awareness to the pleasures that he's having. If you're having a pleasure, isn't that a beautiful idea? This mashal of the shikr. It's a beautiful idea that the more you're aware and have a presence of mind to appreciate what you have it. And then the chaver responds in Yud Zayin with a slightly longer, but he really just expounds on this idea in a really a beautiful way. So we're going to pick up on this, Bezus Hashem, on Thursday.